Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hi!
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Hi!
Why is it that we've broken down? I know lockdown's been hard, but why are we breaking down and making fun of my greetings?
Well, no, because that was quite aggressive. That was, I mean, am I wrong there? Michael, I would say 2 out of 3 would say that was an aggressive high. That's all.
It's been a long week, and my team's about to sign a guy who is a known birther. So
I would say less aggressive and more exasperated.
Well, it was all, there was a lot of combination in that high. It was not just a general high, Brian. So, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's for the times we're in. I mean, I think as long as you can say hi, and it just sounded funny. It was good.
Well, I'm glad I can. I'm
put
really
a smile on someone's face. I'm
really glad I can do that for you.
Hi. Hey, we got some good stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
Michael?
I mean, Brian already hinted at some potential moves, and we are going to light the lamp on the old hot stove here. But first, we're going to wrap up some of the last of the hardware to be doled out from the 2020 season. I guess we'll start with the MVP because that was just the most recent announcements, and that is in the AL, Jose Abreu, and in the NL, Freddie Freeman, both first-time winners and both first basemen.
You know what crazy stat they had about this was this is the first time first baseman for the NL since 2010, Joey Votto, and I believe 2006 with Justin Morneau, which actually two Canadians. So as first baseman, which is kind of weird because you would think there have been some first basemen since then, but I guess not.
That is really strange. Also really kind of cool that one you mentioned was a double Canadian one. I'm down with it. It's pretty cool.
I will say this. There was a good article on ESPN kind of, again, we can't get away from this even if we try, but Freddie Freeman, who won for the Atlanta Braves in the NL, and I think rightfully so, I think deservingly.
28 of 30 first place votes he got.
Sure, and I think there was, you know, their Betts was in there, and I think Machado as well as Tatis. But the one thing what people might forget is Freddie Freeman was COVID, and he had a fever. I remember this and don't remember because everything starts blending together in 2020, but he had a fever of 104.6, and he actually was praying to himself that he could get through it. Like he lost a sense of smell and touch, and he was borderline to not, I mean, I don't know how bad, but he was really in a bad strait for a bit and didn't even know if he was going to get back in the field. And lo and behold, not only did he get back in the field, he was a huge contributor to the Braves making a run in the regular season and obviously in the postseason as well.
Do we just lose Chris there for a second, I think?
Maybe. There's a potential. Zook, you back?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
It like phased out there for a second.
Sorry. Yeah. It's 2020.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean he's the fourth Canadian to win the award. Zouk mentioned the other two, and of course the first one to have a Canadian to have ever won the award is our beloved Larry Walker.
HOF.
So it's Hall of Fame Larry Walker, yeah. So that's really cool. That's really, really cool.
Jose Abreu, meanwhile, is the third Cuban born MVP, following Jose Canseco really and cool. Zoilo Versailles.
That's also really cool. I like the Cubans, man.
Yeah, you know what I didn't know? I was just reading an article on MLB.com about so Richard Justice writing about the two winners. Jose Abreu dedicated this to his grandmother, who died the day that the White Sox played their first postseason game this year, and so he pointed to a photo of his grandmother upon receiving the award and said that was for her. She was my life, he was quoted as saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, great. Like,
Do we have any against either of those picks? I thought those were probably the two picks, but does anyone have any other candidates that they thought?
Well, I mean, the Mookie one, I mean, he got the other two first place votes in the NL.
Yeah, Mookie would have been my guy.
Mookie's because got a soft spot a bit there. Yeah, there's no doubt. But, I mean, Freeman's...
so hard. It was so, so hard to pick this year, you know?
Right, because it wasn't a full season either,
yeah,
right?
Like, you're sort of... Yeah. Dealing with that weird protracted, like shortened season. So, like, things kind of are all out of whack. But, I mean, yeah, Freddie Freeman was fantastic and obviously did deal with COVID. But, like... And of course, it's a regular season award,
right?
But Mookie, and this is the thing we get into in terms of like best player versus most valuable,
mm-hmm. Yes,
right? Like, yeah. The Dodgers signed Mookie, and after, I mean, admittedly, some struggles that weren't necessarily their fault, the Dodgers won the World Series this year.
And past a big years, caveat would
been there and hadn't done it.
Right, and a big caveat is who did they bring over, right? A guy who won with the Boston Red Sox.
Well, and I mean, they also completely shuffled their entire rotation. Four of the six guys who started games for the Dodgers last year were on different teams this year. Mike's team picking up two of them and my team picking up two of them. Mike got Kenta Maeda and Rich Hill on the Twins, and I get Ross Stripling and Hyunjin Ryu. All of whom, well, Stripling had a so-so season, but Maeda and Hill and Ryu all pitched incredibly well, with Ryu and Maeda both ending up in getting Cy Young votes.
Oh, totally. I mean, they were solid for their teams.
So,
mean,
like,
sort of a win-win for a lot of teams, to be honest.
To completely turn over your rotation and still get like good pitching just shows you how incredible the Dodgers have developed talent through their farm system.
It didn't hurt that they had Walker Buehler. Right. I mean, they had an ace there and, you know, they still have Kershaw. So, I mean, they had a riches, right? That's
but,
the crazy
like,
thing.
In terms of like ERA plus, which is a stat that I'm so on, I prefer FIP a little bit more. But in terms of ERA plus, the two guys that replaced Maeda and Ryu in the rotation, Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May, ended up having a better ERA plus than Ryu and Maeda together as combined. So it's they didn't miss a beat at all, and I want to make that entirely clear about how great those two guys were because of how amazing Maeda and Ryu ended up being this season.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Brian, did you notice your man crush there was still made a top five in the voting for AL
which
MVP?
One, Mr. Trout?
Yes, of course.
Well, I mean, he'll win it again next year. I'm not worried.
Ooh, I don't know about that one. We'll see. I mean, yeah. I mean, if they get to 162, we'll see what happens there. I did also see, Michael, did you see a Twinkie made it at the top 10?
I did see that, yeah. I mean, but it wasn't close. Like the...
No.
The top three, so Abreu, Jose Ramirez, and DJ LeMahieu. And, I mean, the LeMahieu one, actually, I think... makes a lot of sense. We talked about this last week in terms of the Yankees, like that this is a guy that I don't think anyone expected necessarily this from him, right? Like a lot of people thought that the inflated numbers from Coors wouldn't translate with the Yankees. And this would be kind of one of those AJ Burnett type signings or
well, the thing about LeMahieu,
Mark Teixeira, right? Like something where the guy was paid a bit extra because it was, he was in pinstripes, but that he just didn't live up to that contract. But LeMahieu ended up being the guy on this team.
Yeah, the thing about LeMahieu the odd thing about LeMahieu in Coors as well is he wasn't even a good hitter there. He had one season where he hit out of his mind and obviously won the batting title, 2016 I think. But other than that, like he had
average
a
average hitter.
Yeah, average is exactly how I would classify him. His WRC plus over that time where 100 is an average hitter, and it is park adjusted as well, so it includes being adjusted for Coors. His time with the Rockies was 66, 91, 130. That was the season he won the batting title. 94, 87. Comes over to the Yankees. His two WRC pluses on the Yankees: 136, 177.
177 this year. Oh my god.
177 WRC plus. Crazy.
I don't know what WC plus is, but I'm assuming 177 is a very good number.
It's wins run weighted runs created. So okay. Basically it's park adjusted or whatever, and it basically the plus just means that 100 is exactly average. So if your WRC plus is exactly 100, you are an average hitter. Right. So being he is 77% better than an average hitter, which is crazy.
And
that's
there's
really good.
There's no way the Yankees knew they were going to get like that.
Probably not.
A late bloomer, maybe, right? One of these that just he finds his comfort zone or whatever with the Yankees, and it's worked. I mean, he's just been phenomenal for him the last 2 years.
Yep. Yeah, he's been really, really good. Yeah, I mean, they probably just signed him to be positionally flexible. They do have a really healthy stats department there, right? So
they got a little bit of money, the Yankees. I'm sure they've got a lot of people in those positions now. Yes.
Yeah. So you know, it's good for them. They're obviously they're doing stuff. I hate the Yankees, but they're doing things. And. And you know, if they don't throw a literal Brinks truck at him in the off season to get him to re-sign there, then I don't know what the Yankees are doing, because he's clearly their best and most popular player.
Judge might be there as well.
DJ LeMahieu outsold Judge in jersey sales this year. So
really, okay,
by quite a bit. By quite a bit. So yeah, I don't know. It appears he's the favorite there in the Bronx. They love him.
Did you guys see the piece about the Cubs reliever?
No.
Ryan Tepera.
He got a former Jays reliever. He got an MVP vote.
What?
Yeah.
Do you know any of the background on this, Michael? Or
so I was just reading. So this is like minutes ago. Manny Randhawa, Manny on MLB on MLB.com, wrote, "If you saw the Twitter reaction to the fact that Cubs reliever Ryan Tepera received a National League Most Valuable Player award vote Thursday night, you know that a collective incredulity was making its way around the baseball world." So what happened? Hall of Fame writer Rick Hummel, who has covered the Cardinals for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for nearly four decades, mistakenly selected the wrong player on the Baseball Writers Association of America NL MVP award ballot.
Amazing.
The ballot is completed online and includes a drop-down menu for selecting players. When Hummel was making his 10th place vote, he accidentally selected Tepera instead of another nearby name on the list.
Incredible.
I intended to vote for Trey Turner in that spot, Hummel said.
So
amazing!
I mean,
that's incredible.
So is Trump going to try and change the election on that one too?
Oof!
Too soon?
Funny, absolutely hilarious, no doubt.
Appreciate that. No, that's
I expect,
crazy.
Tucker Carlson to start a campaign for it.
You would hope so, because you got to get the ballots right on that, right? So that's crazy that happened. And you would think, when I don't know. Anyways, who knows? Because I'm just thinking, would you like have a system where you would double check it before you hit submit? But maybe not. Maybe you just
yeah, like a bank transfer. Like, yeah, are you sure you want to do?
Like, you have a receipt of it or something. Like, oh, maybe I don't. Maybe that's not Trey Turner in the 10th
You'd
spot.
Think so. But, You'd think know, so.
I mean, the one thing is, unless he has a bonus, boy, wouldn't that be something? He got like some extra money because he got MVP vote.
Yeah, if there's some sort of crazy thing in his,
it's kind of unlikely.
Middle reliever to have a closet.
You would think so, but you've heard this sometimes with Hall of Fame votes, right? Someone gets like a vote, or just for that kind of like, you know, as a 10th place vote.
There's some pretty weird guys who ended up getting like votes.
All though. NBA third team clause, like a clause.
Right. Something
like
clause
there were some guys that got some pretty weird, like some pretty weird other weird guys. Like, don't get me wrong, Tapera, by far and away, the weirdest dude to end up with a vote on this list. But like Devin Williams, the Brewers reliever, ended up on this list. Dansby Swanson and Ian Happ ended up on this list. Yeah. Will Myers and Brandon Belt both got ninth place votes.
I think Williams, you could, yeah, I think, who was the last one you just said there, Brian?
Oh, Will Myers and Brandon Belt both ended up with ninth place votes.
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, but when you get to that stage, like, honestly, it's the eighth, ninth place votes, like 10th votes, you know. I mean, they're not winning, so I'm not too sure. I mean, maybe you're just throwing a bone to someone you like.
That's where I was going to say, that's where the beat writer puts like the local guy who has no shot at it, right? Like,
right, yeah. Give him a little bit of love, right? A little bit of recognition. Still stuff funny. Like that. Still, it is, of course. But the funny thing is the story behind the story.
It's a Cardinals guy voting for a Cubs.
Right, right. But then also that he's just touching, that he's missing the drop down, which is even better. It's just, that's so 2020, if you ask me. That's a good summation of, you know, goodness, it wasn't the first place ballot. That's just, you know what I mean?
It wouldn't really have affected that much, I don't think.
No, but it would have been insane if it was like first place ballot.
You're not wrong. Freeman got 20 of the first place votes and Ryan Tapera got one.
Right. What if that was like not unanimous? 29 out of the 30, but the 30th one.
I think they'd probably, if he meant like it's inconsequential.
Right. Someone would have to have looked at that, yes.
Right, but if it was you know, if it was like the one vote that was like him not getting unanimous, like, I meant to vote, then I'm sure they would change it to
unanimous. You would
unanimous
hope so. You would hope so. Mind you, obviously no one checked it, right? Because it went through. So someone was like, yeah, it's a 10th place, whatever. Right? Sure, well, maybe the guy knows. Because, you know, it's just one vote, right? So it's like one vote for
10th
place.
One
10th place
vote doesn't get to mean anything. Yeah, exactly.
It's just good for Twitter. There you go. Maybe Major League just wanted to get some Twitter love tonight.
It's funny. It's funny. It's really entertaining. Could not have happened to a nicer guy for a nicer franchise.
Too funny. So the other hardware that was given out earlier this week is the Cy Young Award. AL, Shane Bieber. NL.
Really no surprise there.
NL, your future Blue Jay, maybe?
Probably. Did you not see the, so Bauer posted a,
so we're gonna get into the Hosto stuff, but yeah, let's talk first about the hardware first.
I mean, Bauer pitched well, you can't really take it away from him on that. Shane Bieber was no doubt about that. I disagree with Bauer winning this year Cy Young. I very much believe that it should have been Yu Darvish, but whatever, you know, you do what you do.
I think Bauer sort of, I know the problem is, I think for you, Brian, you don't like the guy, right? You don't, there's a bit of that as
pitched,
well.
He pitched well. I'm not saying that he didn't pitch well. He absolutely pitched well, and he absolutely deserved to be
you're
involved in the Cy Young.
For you, Darvish. There's
absolutely a case for Trevor Bauer. He was a tremendous pitcher this year. He was really, really good. I watched a lot of both of them this year because, you know, I ended up with MLB TV and
Snyder Reds. Oh, okay.
And because you can't watch Blue Jays games on MLB TV.
That's true enough. Yeah, yeah.
I spent a lot of time watching the Cubs for my mom, and I spent a lot of time watching the Reds because I was interested to see on how Trevor Bauer did. And
you were scouting him for the Jays, weren't you?
I didn't know I was going to do that, but You know, by just about every metric that you can think of, Darvish was better. So I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Not being a Twitter troll.
Well, including not being a Twitter troll. I mean, you could even make the case for the third place guy, Jacob deGrom, as well. But you know what? In a shortened season, I'm not faulting anybody. He was in the conversation, and you could make that argument.
Right, because the problem is, especially in the pitching, right? It 162 really kind of – it makes a difference on that, right? Even hitting as well on the MVP side, but especially pitching. The scope of what you're looking at, it's just not enough, right? But you got to – if we're doing the awards this year because of the shortened season, you got to give it to someone, right? And so, yeah, I mean, there – you know, I don't think it's an asterisk, but, yeah, I mean,
no,
there's the – any of the three, you could sort of make
a fine winner.
The NL.
Yeah, he's not the guy I would have voted for, but I understand the win. I get it.
Yeah, and the AL Bieber was, yeah, he was, I think, a no-brainer.
By far and away the clear favorite there.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer there. Did you also, was manager this week or last week, Michael?
I guess that was even earlier this week. I'm honestly losing track of days.
I was going to say, I feel that was like Monday for some reason. Yeah, all of it started blending together this week. We had the holiday on the Wednesday in Manitoba. So, but I believe the managers were also announced this week.
Right.
And I know Blake Snell didn't like the AL pick.
Oh, did he tweet about it? I haven't
seen. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, I'm sure there's still some remnants.
Okay, I was like,
World
maybe.
Series. He... Wouldn't that be something, huh? He's like, geez, you know.
Well, again, it's a regular season.
I was going to say, regular season manager of the year, yes. Postseason, definitely not.
Yeah, and I mean, that's – but, like, in terms of the Tampa Bay, like – kind of like leveling up this season,
and I will say Don Mattingly,
well, they did a great job with that.
Sure.
And yeah, Don Mattingly, I mean
that's a bit of a miracle, let's be honest, in some respects. I mean they didn't have a team for a lot of the season that had a lot of players who weren't on
a major really roster. Impressive
and they made the postseason for the first time ever, and they, you know, and they don't count the postseason, but making it alone was I think worthy of being the manager of the year. But I mean,
right, it wasn't postseason performance, it was just simply the fact that they were there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the and I think the turnaround was crazy, right? They had I think the worst record or second worst record the year before, and with COVID and to dealing with all that. Sure. I mean, Mattingly, and I think he's one of the only three or four, maybe five who've he won an MVP as a player and then he won a manager of the year. I'm not too sure about that.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty impressive.
It was, yeah, because it was just player and man. There's not a lot of them, right? So, anyway, great for him, right? Because he was with the Dodgers before, and then he's
Frank Robinson would have been one of the others, I think.
I think so. Right? That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the, like, who got votes and stuff, but I didn't see any, like, kind of, like, write-up or article, and I'm sure there was mention, if there was, about, you know, someone who was an MVP as a player but also got manager, and, yeah, I have to imagine that's a pretty short list.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll be honest, is that I feel a little bit this year, and just because of the what's going on in the world and America and all that, is that the sort of these awards just kind of stealthily just came on a bit. Like there wasn't as much pomp and circumstance as they've had in the past where they've made a bigger deal. But so I think that's why the manager one just kind of fell off the table there. But at least I think they're getting some love on the Cy Young and the MVP at the end of the week.
Yeah, I think there's a little more. Especially as we get some distance from the weekend, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, you had sort of the election and COVID and a whole bunch.
Speaking of embarrassing people and also Major League Baseball.
I knew you were going to talk about this, Brian.
Have you guys read the Tony La Russa DUI report yet?
Oh, you got to give it to us.
So the ESPN and Jeff Passan got a hold of the police report for the DUI that he got on February 24th. And I'm just going to read it for
year,
you.
Right? It was this year.
Yeah, I'm going to read it
to you. So they knew this too. The White Sox knew this before they hired him.
Yes. I'm going to I'm going to read this to you verbatim from the article. This is Jeff Paston's article on ESPN. On February 24th at 11:40 p.m., a peace officer, stupid that they're called that, but I'll continue, a peace officer responded to a call and found LaRussa standing alongside his SUV. According to an affidavit filed by the Arizona Department of Public Safety, LaRussa told the officer, who had detected a light odor of alcoholic beverage, that he had been at a dinner with friends from the Los Angeles Angels, for whom he was working as a special advisor. LaRussa was stopped near the Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, and he told the officer he had hit something and had a tire blown. According to the affidavit, after a field sobriety test, LaRussa was taken into custody. In the affidavit, the peace officer described him as argumentative. Hang on, I'm going to get to the best part of this. He kind of got into an argument with the officer. The officer asked him if he had had any drinks, and LaRussa said, "Why do you care?" The officer asked him again if he had had any drinks, and LaRussa stated, "I had one glass of wine while at dinner with my friends." Before searching his person and placing him in the rear of my patrol car, LaRussa asked, "Do you see my ring?" I asked LaRussa what he was talking about. LaRussa stated, quote, "I am a Hall of Famer baseball person," end quote. While placing him in the rear of my patrol vehicle, LaRussa stated, quote, "I am legit. I'm a baseball Hall of Famer brother. You're trying to embarrass me," end quote. I advised LaRussa that I will not embarrass him and he would be treated with the utmost respect.
That's for real, right?
That's for real, man.
and he's still the manager today.
And the White Sox are still hanging on to this guy. Unbelievable.
I think Reinsdorf really likes this guy. Really well,
it's clear that some of the players, Marcus Stroman's pretty outspoken, and he said earlier this week that there was, quote, no amount of money you could pay him to play for the White Sox and LaRussa.
And it didn't hurt that he got a raise going into next year.
This was before he signed the offer.
Right. Fair enough. Yes.
Yeah. Super funny.
I think we're going to have some fun with LaRussa this year.
Oh, boy.
I hope not.
I know what you're saying, but I'm saying is I think this is just the start of a crazy season with the White Sox. That hire just might backfire on them a bit.
Probably not in line for manager of the year at the end of the season. I did pull up the details. So Frank Robinson, not only was he MVP and manager of the year, he also was rookie of the year. So he's the only one to get all three of those.
And we love that's Frank.
Manager of the year and MVP, though, Don Mattingly.
Yep.
Kirk Gibson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Joe Torre.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
Don Baylor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are going back a bit. Those are a bit old school. Yeah, it's and a rarefied club.
There's two who've got manager of the year and rookie of the year, and that's Lou Piniella and Ozzie Guillen.
Lou!
Oh, nice.
So there's six who've gotten two out of the three, and there's only one, Frank Robinson, who's gotten the trifecta. So a big hat tip to Frank Robinson, who
yeah. Very much so.
We also love Lou.
So
do you want to talk a little hot stove before we're done?
No hot stove. We'll just
get a little bit of Jiffy Pop going on.
Get some Jiffy Pop. I mean, the Blue Jays, of course, as we kind of hinted at, already kind of starting to get their fires burning.
They're going after.
Are you getting excited here?
I'm getting very excited. They're going after pitchers. They've stated publicly that they're chasing after both Jackie Bradley Jr. and George Springer.
What about Lindor?
That's the one I'm really excited about. I mean, they're obviously not the only team, but I think they've got the best package to offer, right? Like if they're planning on signing Springer, right? They can go to the Lindors, I guess the Titos, because they won't be the Lindors for much longer. They can offer them Jordan Groshans, who would be the shortstop replacement. They can offer Groshans, Gurriel, and a whatever pitching prospect Cleveland wants, basically. That's not Nate Pearson. And I think that's probably the best package that just about anybody could be offering. Cleveland gets a ready-made, really good major league outfielder.
You'd want this so bad, Brian.
And you know they get their shortstop of the future in Groshans, who is a top 100 baseball like MLB prospect, and throwing like whatever pitching prospect Cleveland wants. And I think that's, oh man, do I want this bad? I love Frankie. I love Frankie. I want him on my team really badly.
He'd be a great fit. Great fit.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you move Bo over to second, you move Cavan over to third, and that's your infield, and that's,
yeah, you got a great infield.
That's a great infield.
And he's not bad at with the bat as well. Not bad with the bat either.
Speaking of not being bad with the bat, Marcell Ozuna, John Heyman, according to him, as many as 10 teams are interested in getting Ozuna. And that's without knowing whether the NL will have the designated hitter spot in 2021. So that suggests that there may be more.
A good hitter, and you can hide him in a bunch of places regardless of, you know.
Right. He's not a defensive hero, but no. He's got a bat, and
I don't think he's that much of a detriment. I don't think he's good in the field, but I don't think he's that much of a detriment that, you know, you need to. You know, he's a slightly below average fielder, which is fine. You know, with what his bat's giving you, you don't really care.
Yeah, you take the bat and, you know, whatever on the defense.
So one piece that I think is interesting, I was looking at Ken Rosenthal writing in for The Athletic. So the Angels hired Braves assistant GM Perry Minasian as their new GM. Potential for Freddie Freeman to be a list of targets for the Halos.
Wow, just load it up and they still won't make the playoffs.
They've still got no pitching and everyone always gets injured.
Yeah, just keep getting all these hitters and, you know, you got to strike them out once in a while.
It's so silly that they're like, there's so many decent free agent arms this year. This is like the huge, you know, this is the class of free agent arms. If you want to go for a free agent pitcher, like, this is the year, go get somebody. Like, you could throw money at Trevor freaking Bauer, the guy who just won the Cy Young Award.
Cy Young.
And instead, you know, they're going to go and sign another hitter who's probably going to get injured, because of course they will, because they keep killing my boy. How can they keep doing this to my boy?
Brian, I think he'll be fine.
What do you think about the thought that the Tigers are looking at Taiwan Walker after he?
Did all right. I'd love to get Walker, but it's not exactly so. Let's make a big assumption that the Jays are going to get Trevor Bauer. Let's make that big assumption. There's not exactly a lot of space in the rotation left, right?
Right.
You've got Ryu. Your rotation, if you were to get Bauer, your rotation is Ryu, Pearson, Robbie Ray, Trevor Bauer, in whatever order you want to put those in. And then you still got Tanner Roark and Trent Thornton that you have to do something with. And I like Thornton. I'm so on Roark, but I like Thornton. Yeah. You know, plus you've got Ross Stripling, who has starter stuff. So, like,
yeah. Stripling, actually, of those three, would maybe be your better case for a fifth there. But, yeah, I mean, your top four would be very solid there. If you, right. You're adding the Cy Young Award winner. I mean, this, you know, it's not exactly like R.A. Dickey's coming to the Blue Jays.
And this is Ryu's second place finish in a row. So, you know, it's in two separate leagues, too. So, like, you know. I like Taiwan Walker. I really like Taiwan Walker. But if they get if they're hunting Trevor Bauer, if that's the prize, then
he's expendable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do feel bad though that if he did land on the Tigers then after being on a, you know, team that was competing to go
Tigers
back to
got
a team
AJ
Hinch. Yeah, well, we'll see what that I mean,
and Core is back with the Red Sox, so it's all like, God. Boy, they what
oh,
a
boy.
Penalty both of them got.
We do not
what
have
a
enough
penalty.
Time.
What a we might have to do that next
do
week because I'm telling you
time.
Right now,
we
what penalty did
time.
Those two guys get? Zero. They lost a COVID season.
Cora got the least penalty because he didn't even have to go through that
fiasco.
Exactly.
I don't want to even get started. We don't have enough
for
time.
A piece of metal.
We pretty much are out of time, so that's probably where we'll cut it off. We'll get
that's a good,
we'll
good
fire
way
Brian up before the weekend here. Let exactly. him just like stew for a week.
I can't believe you've done this to me.
We're lighting the hot stove and we're lighting up Brian.
Well, just he'll play some extra sad songs on the pity party coming up.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I can't wait for that.
Angry sad. That's the new emotion on the pity
party.
Exactly.
You can play some Fugazi.
Hi!
There we go. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll be back here next week on 101.5 UMFM.
Strike three. You're out.